That's what we're trusting in, that God will do that. Now, we look in 2 Timothy in chapter 3. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Our Father, help us tonight as we think on these things. We pray, dear God, your hand be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When you read the word perilous, it brings all sorts of thoughts to your mind. But I think the greatest peril is in the church. And as you travel around, particularly in America, you see the declines happening so quickly that it frightens you. And you start thinking, when Jesus said, "Will there be faith when I return?" You start thinking, that's kind of true. Amen? That's kind of true. And you begin to wonder, who's going to be left when he comes? The natural answer to that question is actually no. There won't be much left. And in the Greek, as you read it, that's what it amounts to, that there won't be many left standing. So we have to be very much on guard and be careful that we're not going to be one of the ones that slips off the edge. Now, most of us want to be loved. We want to be popular. Amen? We want someone to love us. We want people to think we're great people. But we have to be careful that we're not becoming lovers of ourselves. Or, as we say in Australia, full of yourself. Amen? You're full of yourself. And we live in that era where everybody wants to be popular. Everything that man is developing now, every tool that's coming onto the market, is selfish. If you look at it from the word selfie, and then add anything to it you want. Amen? And I'm on the aeroplane, I made 5 flights to get here. On every flight, there's people taking pictures of themselves. And I'm thinking, don't you know what you look like? Don't you know that? You know, there was a girl sitting across from me in Burma, and she was... And I wanted to lean over and say, "Are you full of yourself or what? Do you do this on every flight? And who really cares what you look like today or tomorrow?" But this is the world we live in. But the peril in the church is just as bad. Everybody wants to be loved and wants to be nice, politically correct. Amen? We can't say anything out of line, or you're negative, or you're racist, or whatever you are. So these times have come into the church now, and it really has affected missions. Because when we talk to young people about missions, hey, they just switch off. Missions to them means I have to give up everything that I play with. That's what it boils down to. The perilous times, I have to put everything away that I'm playing with, so what in the world am I going to do? Now, I was in Burma just a few days back. We tried to send a document home to Australia, one piece of paper. It took 4 hours with several neighbours to try and manoeuvre that document, that one bit of paper, onto an email just to get it to Australia. And I didn't have a clue what they were doing. I gave up. I just had a bit of paper. That's as far as I got. Amen? I'm illiterate. And we had half the street there in the house trying to figure out. And they were smart. They knew what they were doing, but the internet and everything was... And I thought to myself, what a weird world. Yet we have all this stuff and we still can't make it work. But then these young people, that's all they do when they get together. The perilous times are really up here. It's gone to our head and affected us so much. And it's just a miracle that there are still some young people that are going. And one of the key words here is unthankful. You see that there? Not only are they full of themselves, they become unthankful. And I had to address that in Africa when I was there 4 or 5 weeks back. There's some people there who are unthankful. They're getting money, they're getting support, they're getting food, and they're unthankful. They got used to it. They got used to holding their hand out, and they became unthankful. Amen? And so we're living in this kind of an era. So Timothy was warned about this because Timothy was a young man. And religion is all over the world. We see it everywhere we go. We see this business of, oh, well, there's television. That'll take the message. Amen? Television will take the message. Here's the bad news. Television isn't taking any message anywhere. Television is for people who are educated. It's not helping people who can't read or write. The message isn't getting there. If it did, the world would be a better place. But it's not getting there. And so we have to start thinking, did God ever intend to use television, or did he intend to keep using people? Or have we become obsolete? And if you look at the statistics of missionaries going, we're becoming obsolete. We're becoming history, aren't we? It's dropping and declining. Every year fewer people go to the mission field. And I want to say this to you, never think that the media is going to play a great part in reaching the world. It is not. It is simply not. It is not popular on television to have religion unless you're a real crook. Amen? They allow all the crooked preachers on there because they're stage people. And that's about all you're going to get on there. Hardly anybody honest or good is on television. And so the sad thing is that the generation we're talking about, these perilous times, I'm afraid the greatest peril is in the church. It scares me the most. In Sydney, we've lost 3 or 4 churches in the last 3 years. I mean, they just fell apart. Simply fell apart. The pastors try to keep people, and by trying to keep people, they compromise. When they compromise, the few good ones leave first. Amen? They're gone first. And then the pastor's left with the leftovers. And when you have a church full of compromising people, they vacillate from here to there, and soon you have nothing. And we've got pastors now all over Sydney with nervous breakdowns. We've got them all over the country. So perilous times have arrived. Some of the old timers in the good old days had different points of view about all this, but the fact is that they lasted and we never did. We didn't make it. When I was in Burma, the first trip, I went to see where Adoniram Judson lived. I had to cross several banana plantations on foot and lots of dirt paddocks and a couple of creeks and finally got to this big tree where his house was supposed to have been. I got eaten by mosquitoes. Man, it was so remote. I thought to myself, dear God, I'm just glad I didn't live then. How did that man survive all the years he was there with all the tragedies he had? But he did, and he suffered it out. And the people still read the Burmese Bible, although not all of them can read Burmese. And there are 115 languages in Burma. So it's a nightmare trying to translate a Bible into 115 languages. It's a nightmare to reach everybody in their own language in the one country. So I'm working there particularly because if you look at the map, which we might do tomorrow, Burma has 8 neighbours right around Burma. It's like a horseshoe. And yet nobody in Burma has gone out of the country to reach anybody. That's tragic. Now, there are two states in Burma. There are many different states like we have in Australia, but there are two states that are full of mixed people. They're Chinese Burmese people, escaped from China from persecution and came to Burma for more persecution. Amen? One was, I don't know which was the worst of the two, but when they came to Burma, they had 30, 40 years of persecution. And they were living underground and had little colleges and shifting around every 3 weeks to go here and there to hide from authorities. And it was pretty tough. But there are two states that are full of churches. They were all underground before. This is only going back 4 years now. And there's so many churches in this one area, this little state called the Chin State. Chin as in Chinese, okay? And that's where I'm working now, because that's where most of the Christians are. If you go out of those two states, there's almost no Christian to be found. 72 million people. And so to get into these countries early in the peace is important. Now, I've done a lot of work in Philippines, Indonesia, Cambodia and all, but they're all down the road a bit now. Burma's just opening up. And here's the tragedy. When you get on a plane in Burma, and they only have little planes, they have 40-seaters. You get on a little 40-seater plane, almost the whole plane is full of foreigners. And all these foreigners have come along to start and peddle their wares. Amen? And you can hear them speaking. There's Pentecostals, Presbyterians, this, that, and everything else. And the old story is whoever gets there first wins the prize. Amen? You get there first with what you have to say, you're going to win the people. So I've been going there constantly, 3 or 4 times a year, because I really think we have an opportunity to get some independent Baptist churches started. They have hundreds of Baptist churches, but they're not independent. They're all stuck in a union, which is horrible. And it's not working very well. And the average 30, 40 people in each church. It is not very big because there's 5 of them on each street. If you took a rock in the town where I was, if you took a rock and threw it in a straight line, you would hit 10 churches. As far as you could throw that rock. It's just incredible how many churches there are. But the truth is, none of them are like us. And so I'm working hard now to try and arrange and get that started. And it all costs money, folks. It's expensive. Amen? You've got to find a salary for the pastor, a house for the pastor, a block of land for the church. It goes on and on and on. And before you know it, you spend $100,000. And people at home think, oh, boy, we're sending you $50 a month. Don't you think that's just so wonderful? You know how far $50 goes? It's gone in one day. Just by phone calls and visa costs, it costs nearly $200 to go in and out of Burma every time. Okay, not to mention the $500 it costs to go to a little town on the plane, because that's the only planes there are. It's expensive to get anything started. And we have to start realizing that if we don't get people into these places, we're the ones that are whinging and complaining later on. Amen? Oh, why didn't someone go? Why didn't someone do something? Well, we're trying to do something, but we're hindered by the lack of money and the lack of manpower. So the young people in our churches need to realize that, hey, just getting a job and doing your thing may not be what life is all about for you. Maybe being in the Lord's work would be much more exciting than having a job at McDonald's. Amen? Much more exciting. And we have to start thinking like this, young people. There's something in life called the Lord's work, the Lord's will. Amen? We're living in times where everybody's going to tell you, this is not for you. This is not for you. And I'm telling you, it's the most exciting job there is. I have more excitement in 1 week than some of you do in a whole year. You can predict your life every time you wake up. Say amen. Amen. You look out the window, it's going to rain today, sweetie. And then you go and buy a carton of milk and a paper, and that's the end of the day. It's predictable. Mine's totally unpredictable. I wake up and don't even know where I am. I go to the bathroom at night and I can't even remember where it is. Not long ago, I was in the Philippines and I woke up and the poor pastor, he lived on top of a lake, you know, where there's full of mosquitoes and one of these little bamboo jobs with stilts in the water and all that. And I thought I had it all sorted, you know, after 2 days, and I had to go to the toilet at night like diabetics do. We had to make 3 visits every night. Well, on the second visit, I came back and I got into the wrong door and I got into bed with the pastor and his wife. Just another one of them stories, amen? Lucky they had their pyjamas on. And lucky they had a sense of humour, amen? So we all got up, had a cup of coffee, had a bit of a laugh about it. But listen, my life is full of adventure, amen? I can't predict any day, I don't know what's going to happen, or what's going to go on where I stay. But I'm saying to you, have a look at your life. Because in these last days, the unsaved people in the world are scrambling for help. They're scrambling, they're looking for an answer. Just look at what's happening in the Middle East. People think, oh, they're refugees. No, they're not. It's all designed to take over Europe. Get rid of the Muslims, have a war, get rid of them. It's designed, these perilous days are for them too, designed to get them into Europe, and now Europe's going to be just full of Muslims. And you wait and see what they do in Europe. Just wait and see. They haven't started yet. All these little bombings, the tiny stuff. Amen? It's coming. It's already in Australia. And you're going to have it here if you start taking too many more in here. This is all designed to shift people, to move people around. And they don't even know it. Half of them don't even know it. The war that's in the Ukraine with Russia. You know what that's all about? Food. All the food for Russia comes from the Ukraine. And once they lose that part, then there's a food shortage in Russia. Plus there's water, there's ocean there. They need the strategic position. See, all these things are designed by people that we never meet. But they shuffle things around on the map and play games. But our job is not to worry so much about that. Our job is to find out where we can make an impact where they leave a vacuum. Amen? The vacuum is people moving around who don't know where to go. And so right now would be a great opportunity to be in Europe in these perilous days, to be there and to start churches for these Muslims. Amen? Listen, we don't like them, but the point is they're souls. They're souls, and they need to be saved. And when one of them gets saved, it's almost like worth all of us. One of them getting saved is going to get more done than almost all of us put together. Because these people are fearless. They have no boundaries. They can live anywhere. They can handle anything. They can take any punishment. And they'll cross any ocean to find someone to win to Christ. I've seen them do it. And I'll tell you all that when a Muslim becomes a Christian, they are the most generous Christians you'll ever meet. When they get saved. Amen? And so we're in a situation now where we are not taking advantage, if you like, of these situations where we see these shifting populations, we're just not there. And if you go to a college in America, hardly anybody talks about Islam. How to reach Islam? Nobody. Why? Well, it's dangerous. Amen? It's dangerous. One of our guys from Africa, his brother went to Saudi Arabia to get a job. He took the gospel tract with him. He translated it into Arabic. And then he sent it back to Africa for his brother to check it. And the authorities were checking his email and caught him. He hadn't even printed the tract yet. They caught him and he's under arrest now. So he can't get out of Saudi Arabia. He's stuck there. Amen? An African. So you see, we're living in times where you have to watch what you're doing. And a lot of our training nowadays doesn't involve any preparation of warfare. There's no preparation of what's going to happen if you go to prison. There's no preparation of if you get caught and they say you're a spy, what do you do? Amen? There's no preparation in our colleges for any disasters that may come your way on the field. All we do is teach theology. Theology. It's one of the most boring words there is in the English language, theology. All right? That's all we teach. And we've got to be really understanding today that somehow the church in these perilous days where we have all these descriptions of people, the church has to step in where the parents have stepped out. What do I mean by that? Well, half the families we have don't have a father. Say amen. And you've got one of the worst countries for that in the world, right here. Half the churches, children don't have a father that's there at home. Then the other problem is, if there is a father, most of the time he hasn't spent much time with the children. And so you have a family where the boy in particular grows up and has very little people skills, very little skills with his hands and brain coordination, all right? All he knows is how to play the telephone. That's all they can do. And so these are the people we're sending out. We call them nerds, amen? Idiots, another good word. And they're time wasters. They come out and waste our time, and then they end up coming back home shattered. And the problem all began at home. And what I'm saying tonight is this. Where the parents and the home have missed out on teaching the children, the church has to pick up the slack. Think about what I just said. Somehow our churches need to become workstations. Amen? Places where you have a building, where you might have to build another building down here with a workshop so you can start training some boys like Pitapi. He has a little, he can use his hands and brains together. Most of our kids can't do that. They're going to die of arthritis in their thumbs texting. That's all they can do. Amen? This is it. The only coordination they've got is this. This is it. And so what are we going to do? Where are we going to find the young people to reach the world if the church doesn't step in where the family fell out? Now, I've told this to the churches all over the world. And the fact is this. To most pastors, it's too much work. Some of you are looking at me. Some of you men are looking at me like, do we have to do this now? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Listen to me. The Bible College won't do it. Did you just hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? The Bible College will not do this. They're not structured to do this. They're not designed to do this. They haven't planned on doing this. They're not going to do it. They haven't got the facility to do it. So it comes back to the house of God. Are we going to prepare people or not? If dad won't do it, mum can't do it because she's stressed out because dad won't do it. The children are messed up with all sort of high-tech junk and they can't even think straight. They're zombies, amen? They're zombies. Walking around the mall with their phone like, "Is someone please call me?" This is what they're like, especially the girls. Look what I've got. I've got a Samsung. Well, big deal. Big deal. You've got nothing else upstairs if that's all you've got. Amen? A Samsung's worth nothing now. Nothing. And now it's $900 to buy a new one. If you really want one. Amen? Listen to me. Get some coordination between here and here. Amen? And somewhere the church has to start thinking, we need to build a tool shed. We need to build a training shed. We need to get our men mobile and busy. We need to buy an old tractor and fix it up. We need to teach our boys how to put a shed up. We need to teach our boys how to swing a hammer and then knock the nail in at the right end, not the head first into the wall, the point first into the wall. Amen? Listen, you think I'm joking. I'm serious. They come to the mission field on a visit and we have to do everything for them. They can't even fry an egg. They can't even make a cup of tea. And here they are, I'm going on a mission trip. We're going to Malawi. Oh, okay, well, then I have to make you breakfast because you're too dumb to fry an egg. We had a nurse came, 29 years old, registered nurse, smart girl, runs a whole floor in the hospital. She said, oh, Brother Anger, is there something I can do for you? Because I wait for them to ask that, amen? I said, yeah, well, you can make breakfast. And I got this bewildered look on you. You know, and she said, what do you mean? I said, well, breakfast. Two bits of toast and scrambled eggs. She walked off and she came straight back. She said, I've never scrambled an egg. I said, what's wrong with you? You come from a family of 10 children and your mother hasn't taught you to scramble an egg. This is what I'm talking about, folks. Don't send us idiots. Amen? We don't have time to train them there, but we have to because mum and dad haven't done it here. And the church is so asleep, say amen, that our men can't be bothered. They can't be bothered to give up their Saturday and come and teach some skills. The fathers can't be bothered teaching it. Listen to me. If you look at the average church, it may have 100 people. You've got 20 or 30 professional people. Is that right? About right? 20 or 30 people that have a reasonable job. Why are you not imparting some of that to the young people in your church? Because they're not going to get at a Bible college. And if you're an accountant, you could be running a little class out the back for a few weeks, teach them how to do the books. Amen? Say amen, someone. Help me. Because there's skills that you'll need on the field. African people don't know how to do accounts. They're waiting for someone to show them. They don't know how to make vegetable soup. They've never seen vegetable soup. I go to Burma, I've never seen vegetable soup. Every day the fried chicken for me was so hard I could have smashed it with a hammer. It's deep and multiplied deep fried. And there's no chicken left on it. Amen? And I'm eating this oily stuff and it's a diabetic's nightmare. And then you start getting stomach pains and all the rest that goes with it. And then I started teaching them, I taught them how to make an omelette. Can you believe that? A simple omelette. And now everybody in the family's eating omelettes. They've never seen an omelette. Never seen. And then I made, on this trip, I learned how to make pancakes. And then they stole all my pancakes. By the time I got from the motel to their house for breakfast every morning, all my stuff was gone. Because they've never seen a pancake. But if you ask a young person to come and do something like that, what do you do? But I've got an Apple phone. Well, that doesn't scramble eggs. Hello? So our church has to wake up and realize that nobody else now is putting in the time to teach our children because dad is too busy, mum is too busy, and if you don't believe me, watch mum and dad when they go to the restaurant. They don't even talk to one another. He's on his Facebook and she's on her Facebook. Hello? Hello? All the skills are gone. This is why we have this perilous times list, because people are in love with themselves. They haven't got time for the person across from the table. You'll see 10 young people go to the restaurant and no one is talking to anybody. Why? Because mum and dad are doing the same. They're doing the same. It really grieves me when I see it. Because all I can see is that young child is never going to be chosen by God to do anything or go anywhere. It's not going to happen. So our churches have something to do now, haven't we? We need to really start putting buildings up that are constructed to prepare and to train soldiers. Because we're living in a perilous time where the church is in peril, not just the world. The world's always been in trouble. But now the church is fast asleep. Now listen to me. We may be giving to missions. Say amen. Say amen. All right, yours is going to start cranking up again shortly, isn't it? We're going to start giving the mission. Listen, we have to do. More than even the giving, we have to do. We have to prepare our children regardless of whether God will send them or not. Let's assume every teenager in this church could be called by God to go. Make that assumption. Train all of them, whether they're going or not. If they're not going to go, at least they'll be more useful here. Say amen. And so you fathers need to realize this. It's not just your children. I'm talking about other people whose children come here, whose father doesn't care where they are Sunday morning or Wednesday afternoon or Saturday afternoon. We need to start doing this, folks. It's not happening in New Zealand, by the way. Just look around how many people you sent to the mission field. Just take a quick look around. You can count them all on this hand. Just one hand. We haven't even got to the second hand yet. Just one. Amen? Am I correct? Just one. Have we given them incentive to go? Have we prepared them in every good work, as the Bible says in Timothy 2, prepared them unto every good work? Have we done that in the church? No. Our churches are full of Bible study. Did you know that? We have Bible study upon Bible study. But somehow it's not sinking in, or the content isn't correct. Preparation is the key to winning a war. Say amen. Amen. Preparation. For every American soldier on the battlefield, take 60 people are involved in sending that one guy out. 60 people are involved in getting him dressed and armed to the teeth and all the rest of the stuff they've got to drag around with them, a whole computer inside a helmet. I mean, it's ridiculous. Amen? Soon it'll be so heavy they'll have to get robots to carry it all around. Doesn't matter if you shoot them dead, they haven't got feelings, amen? They're working on it, don't worry, they're working on it. But our job has been neglected now for the last 30, 40 years, and that is preparation outside of Bible college. Our colleges are almost totally failing us now, because they can't even preach when they come out. They can't. They're so used to living in luxury in a lovely apartment, a Bible college, that they don't know what to do when they come out. When I went to Bible college, I lived in a woodshed, in a tin woodshed in the middle of Queensland, in the middle of all the heat, full of mosquitoes, no fly screens and all that lovely stuff. No ceiling, just tin. And I sweated to death for 2 years in that place. And every morning the principal would get up and say, "Yes, we are preparing you to go and serve God. So stop complaining." We had baked beans and toast for 2 years. Every day the same food. Every day. No change. We got a haircut whether we wanted it or not. We worked every afternoon. We worked every evening. We worked every morning. We studied every day and never had time off. And now it's so different. Now you have a lovely apartment with Wi-Fi, whoever that is. And you got television and you got everything else in there. And you can go and talk to the girls at the cafeteria all day and blah, blah, blah. Listen, that's not preparation. That's really killing them rather than helping them. Amen? So we're coming back to the same thing. Who is going to fill the gap in these perilous last days where men love themselves? Who's going to fill the gap in the preparation? And the only answer is the church. And I'm saying to you, hey, you may be thrilled and excited that your pastor's back, but I'm going to tell you something. He's back here to work. And if you don't roll your socks up and get over the past few years you've had, roll your socks up, it's time to work. And it's time to start thinking, every young person you see within range that you can get into this place, if you don't start thinking, we've got to set up things outside and fill up all these rooms and start teaching things at night and start teaching them what I know in life. What do you know in life? Teach it to them. Teach it to them. You ladies should be running classes. If you know how to cook and make soup and fry chicken, blah, 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 you should be running a class at night. How to bake cakes, how to make pancakes, because one day your kid's going to go. What's he going to do? Sit there somewhere in the middle of Canberra and say, I can't cook. I'm a vegetarian. That's the next thing I hate when they arrive. I'm a vegetarian. I said, it's too bad. You're having some meat. Open up. I hate that when they come and they start on all that stuff. I don't eat meat. Well, why do you think God made it, you idiot? And what would happen if we didn't eat the cows? We'd all die of methane gas. Ever thought about that? People don't think, do they? So don't come and tell me you can't eat meat. You can't eat chicken or fish or whatever. Don't start on that. Amen? Don't say, well, I don't drink coffee because that... Stop all that nonsense. Amen? Amen? You do far worse things than drink coffee. Things in your head that you do are far worse than drinking the coffee. Understand that? Get it right. So we have to start training our people with life experience that you have, you already have, as a professional person or a working person, and you could be running classes here day and night because you have all the facilities here. And it may take you only 4 nights to teach them how to make cream puffs and make a cake, but then for goodness sake, teach them. Especially the boys. They're hopeless. And teach the girls how to scramble eggs, please. And teach them how to keep the books. And teach them how to change a wheel on there. Recently a missionary got killed in India because he didn't know how to change the wheel on his car, and they killed him. They killed him to get his car because it was getting dark and he couldn't get the wheel off. They killed him. And not only him, they killed his wife and his 3 children. And if only somebody in church had said, look, this is how you get a wheel off a 4-wheel drive. You have to lift it off the ground first, you goose. He didn't even know how to do that. He had all the nuts off and couldn't get the wheel off because the car was on the ground. Hello? We can blame anything else. We can blame TV for all this. We can blame anybody else. Listen, but it comes down to this. We have a church. We have a building. We have men here. We have women here. And what are you doing with all that you know? Because we're living in times where people are just obsessed with themselves. You have to get them away from themselves. And say, look, there's more to life than your little three little toys that you have. Amen? Now, put that phone away, put this away, put that away, now come over here and crack an egg.
I don't know how to, every time I crack an egg, my thumb gets stuck in it. Yeah, well, learn how to do it. Amen? I'm creating work for you. And if you don't like it, I could almost say, don't stay here. Because this is a, listen, you have a golden opportunity now. What God has done for you this in the last 3 months is a golden opportunity. But it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. Realize that. And if all that you wanted is just to have a pastor that loves you, then you're wrong. You're wrong. Amen? You need a pastor who'll drive you a little bit to make you do things you've never done. To make you start thinking outside the box. To get you out of your comfortable little house and your comfortable little program and all this, I've got to have family time. Well, listen, there's millions of kids without a family that may need your time. Amen? And by the way, how many children frequently come to your house because they love being there at your house because they feel at home? How many of them do you hear in your house? I'm talking, listen, about preparation. Preparation. The most wonderful sound you can have in your house is people sending their kids to your house because they've got nowhere else to go. You should be saying, well, hallelujah, they're coming here, okay? And now I'm going to build a work shed. I'm going to teach them how to turn wood. I'm going to teach them how to do this and do that and do that and do that. If you don't do that, okay, go somewhere else and teach them to do it. But for goodness sake, let's get on with it. If you have this many missionaries or less than this that have left this country in the past 20 years, I mean, there's nothing to brag about. Say amen. There's nothing to brag about. Australia's no better. We've got 200 churches. We've sent out less than 25 people. And some of them have already come home, didn't make it. Lack of preparation. Perilous times. It's in the church. And yet in 2 Timothy, it's very clear. Let's look at it as we close. 2 Timothy, it's very clear in verse 20. It says, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour, some to dishonour. We've created many to dishonour. Amen? If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour. That's what you're supposed to be building as a church. And what do you teach them? That they're sanctified, separated from the world. What's the next word? Meet for the master's use and prepared unto what? Why don't you circle that word every? Circle that word every. You see that word? Every. Does that mean something to you? What does every? Give me another word for every. All. All. Amen? So in church, we should be teaching all that you know. So that when that young person one day, when that young person realizes God could be calling that person, when they leave this church, then you can say, there goes part of me. Or you can say, God bless you, brother. We're right behind you, about 50 miles behind you. Why? I've put nothing into it. I've put nothing into your life. But we will send you $50 a month. Well, wacko. Wacko, $50. And what have you put into his life? Nothing. You've thrown money at it. That's all. And that's about all most of our churches do, is they just throw money at missions. It's not the answer. We need the money, yes, but that's not the answer. The answer is we need people prepared to do the work. And you have the knowledge. Why are you not putting that knowledge into that young person? So when they go, you won't feel guilty, amen? You say, man, I had him in my class. I taught him how to use a screwdriver. A lot of boys can't even use a screwdriver. That we used to joke with boys when I worked in a wood shop. We would send them to the hardware shop to buy a left-handed screwdriver. Of course, we'd call the shopkeeper first. And we'd say to him, we'll give him a bit of a tour, you know, of all the screwdrivers and see if he could pick out a left-handed one. And then he'd come back and say, there's no such thing, boss. I said, well, are you that dumb you can't figure that out? That they're all the same? And the second guy would send him off to get a box of spot welds. You know, little welding dots that they weld cars together. We told him they were in a box. So the guy at the shop would say, do you want them in a strip or do you want them separate? And the boy would say, I don't know. You see what I'm saying? Now, all this is because daddy was too busy. That's all. Daddy never taught anything. Now, my father was guilty of that. The closest I ever got was handing him the nails. And that frustrated me. That really frustrated me. He was a perfectionist. In other words, I could never reach the bar. And any time I got close to it, he'd lift it up a little bit more. And in the end, I just left home. Said, I've had enough of this. Then I had to start trying to do things myself. And every time I tried, it wasn't quite right and it'd fall over. That's what I'm saying to you fathers. There are kids out there who would be coming to your church. They would be coming to your church if you had something interesting for them here. Instead of just, we're having an hour Bible study every Wednesday and you need to be here. Listen, they need more than that. They need to be loved and need to be shown that they can make something with their hands and do something and be part of a group of people that's preparing them for life. Say amen. Help me. They might come here then. If there's something going on here. If there's honey to be made here and the bees are all busy in the hive, so more bees may arrive. Amen? Amen? But most churches, the hive is dry. And there's nothing going on. I think you all know about bees, don't you? If they're lazy, they get kicked out. They don't come back. They get shown where that little slot is, and they say, don't come back. Amen? You're lazy. Do you understand, folks? You have an opportunity. Your pastors come back. I've seen this once in every 1,000 pastors. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Make this place buzz and hum like it's never buzzed and hummed before. Don't waste it. Because if you do, God will take him away again. It's that simple. God is the director, amen? He picks people up and puts people down. You understand? And if you think, pastor's back now, we can relax. No, no, no. Now's the time to start working. You've had your relaxing for 10 years and you're grieving. Amen? Amen? Hello? Nothing's been happening for 10 years. Now it's time to get started. And I'll guarantee you, if the town finds out that your church is teaching people how to do things and make things and making life a little bit more interesting for the kids, they will come. They will come. I'll guarantee it. Because to most kids, church is boring. Say amen. It's just boring. There's nothing there. People sit down, you know, and they come and complain about the rest of the week. That's all I'll talk about. It's boring. And so if there's a hive of activity going on, then there's some excitement there, the building, because somebody is being prepared to do something. Even if you don't know where they're going. Preparation is the key to every battle being won. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful tonight. We just don't know how to thank you for what you've done here in this place.